Welcome to God and Country Biblical Exposition. In this week's program, I'm finally getting around to part four in my series, Christianity and UFOs. In part three, I explained that if there are any surprises for the Christian community, it would be the possibility that the demonic realm can interact with the physical realm way more than we ever realized. And then in program three, I went on to explain all of the biblical texts that allude to demonic interactions with mankind before the Noahic flood. Interactions that stepped over God's boundaries and resulted in the immediate imprisonment of certain demonic entities. That same interaction between humanity and fallen angels might again take place as God removes his hand of restraint upon the world in preparation for the apocalypse. 2 Thessalonians 2:7. You can listen or watch programs 1 through 3 in the series on YouTube and Rumble. They're spread over a number of weeks with other topics in between. They are videos 262, 269, 270, and this video 273. But actually, they're programs number 606, 614, 615, and 619. When I started doing YouTubes, I created two numbering systems to distinguish between my videos and my radio program, because sometimes I do a radio program and I don't do a matching YouTube. Kind of gets complicated, but I'm sure you'll figure it out. If you go to the website, godandcountryradio.org, all links are there in chronological order. Now, in this fourth program, I want to discuss the satanic agenda in the UFO phenomenon. But first, let's get back into the subject with some introductory remarks. As I said before, I believe this UFO phenomenon can be a real faith builder for the Christian community, because everything we're seeing and hearing confirms what the scriptures teach us about the angelic realm. When Satan and his fallen angels were cast out from heaven, they weren't cast down to Mars or Venus or the Andromeda galaxy. They were cast down to Earth. And Satan is the prince of the power of the air. Now, the unbelieving and the unsaved are putting a spin on the data, claiming that these beings have evolved on other planets, just as the unsaved claim that we have also evolved on this planet. And I'm sure this is exactly what the demonic realm wants mankind to believe. But we know the truth. Let's begin by appreciating the importance of the subject. Because understandably, there will be those who say this is a distraction. This is not the gospel. This is not the public policy battle that we're facing. And I get that. But this subject should be a subpoint of a subpoint in the doctrine of angelology. I don't know how some Christian podcasters can focus on UFOs every week. That can't be spiritually healthy. But there is a place for this subject. To help us appreciate this topic, I would like to quote from a piece by Ben Garrett. He started a new YouTube with his pastor out there in Utah. It's called Haunted Cosmos. It's one of those new up-and-coming Christian sites. Ben has some great literary gifts. Quote, God's world is at once claimed and counterclaimed by glorious forces of light and ancient and malevolent evils. All the time, every second, every square inch of it, all of it. This is a thing worthy of our awe and wonder. It's a thing that should fill our mouths in obedience to Psalm 75 with the wondrous deeds of God. Unquote. So we should be interested in, and we should praise God for all of his creation, visible and invisible. We should investigate what God is doing in this world, both in heaven and on earth. And as an aside, my summer doctrinal study has been in angelology, the study of demons and angels. You know, as Christians and in learning the Word of God, we'll often focus on one particular subject at a time: ecclesiology, eschatology, Christology, doctrines of civil government, whatever. Well, this summer I've been working on angelology, and that has led me into some side studies into Gnosticism, one of the main doctrines of demons, and it's led me into UFOlogy and all of the history of the government's response to UFOs. Project Grunge, Project Blue Book, the Lockheed Skunk Works, NICAP, CIETI, APRO, the Condon Report, the Wilson Report, the CIA Robertson Report, the Trick Memo, the Guy Hotel Memo, James McDonnell, Hynek, Donald Kehoe, the Roswell event of 1947, the Trinity event of 1945, the Washington event in 1952, the Brazil event, the Point Pleasant, West Virginia event, the Rendlesham event in the UK. Seriously, there is so much information to process. This could be a 3-credit college course. What I find interesting is that while I've been studying the subject, just as an amusing diversion, it just so happens that I'm seeing a great uptick in an interest in the subject, in the Christian community, in the subject of demonology. It just might be my own perception because I'm now tracking the subject, or it might have something to do with the influence of the culture or media, or it may be the Holy Spirit leading the church to help God's people understand that the evil arising in our day has a supernatural element. The evil is the influence and doctrine of demons. You know, I find that God does lead his church as a whole to focus on certain truths at certain times. Now, in regard to UFOs in particular, we need to be careful of all of the false reports and all of the crazies that are attracted to this like bees to honey. In my first program in this series, I mentioned the report that came out at the beginning of the summer where a family in L.A. claimed to have seen aliens in their backyard. And neighbors and police reported seeing a glowing orb. The story spread to all of the major networks. And the young man in the family reported the whole event in a YouTube entitled, "I Had Aliens in My Backyard." And in my first program, I pointed out that whether it's real or not, I found the whole thing quite hilarious. Well, new evidence pretty much proves that it was fake. That night, there was a glow in the sky. Astronomers and observers all reported a large meteorite falling from the sky that night, the exact time and place, and it was definitely a magnesium meteorite. The team reported that his mother and father saw the alien, or the aliens, but in the police video, the parents denied seeing the aliens. And this teenager claimed that the UFO created a dirt circle in his backyard, but Google Earth shows that that circle had been there years prior to the event. And apparently this 16-year-old boy already had a fascination with UFOs. Also, there is the famous alien autopsy documentary, alleged to be footage taken from Roswell back in the 1940s. There was a serious documentary done in 1995 about this alleged autopsy called Alien Autopsy, Fact or Fiction, hosted by Jonathan Frakes from the Star Trek series. Well, the magician and the filmmaker, Spy Malaris, who alleged to have secured the footage from a retired military cameraman who worked at Roswell, admitted to having faked the whole thing using special effects. So let's be suspicious of what we read and hear. Christians, in their innocence, tend to be gullible. I hate to say it, but it's true. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26, "Consider your calling, brethren. We're not the brightest bulbs in the chandelier." And Jesus did warn us in 1 John 4:1, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they're from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." But then there are real events, like the 1952 Washington, D.C. UFO encounter. Are you aware of that? It was big news at the time. Over two weekends in 1952, UFOs buzzed over Washington. On July 19th, air traffic controllers at Washington's National Airport spotted seven objects on radar hovering 15 miles south of Washington, D.C. No known aircraft were in the area at the time. The senior air traffic controller wrote, "We knew immediately that a very strange situation existed. Their movements were completely radical compared to those of ordinary aircraft. They made some calls, and other radars had picked up the objects, and on the ground people were seeing bright lights in the sky. Then the objects slowly moved over the Capitol and over the White House. They were caught on film, and the next day the pictures and the story made headlines in all national papers. That night, the military at Andrews Air Force Base was also tracking the objects. Two jet fighters from Newcastle Air Force Base in Delaware were dispatched. When they arrived, the objects disappeared, but as soon as the planes returned to base, the objects reappeared for the remainder of the evening. The next weekend, the same thing happened. Fighter jets were sent out. The pilots saw the lights from the objects, but they disappeared when the jets grew closer. This event started all sorts of government programs and committees dealing with UFOs. Was it a hoax? Was it government disinformation? Or was this mistaken natural phenomenon? Well, let's not also forget all of the recent military pilot video footage and reports of UFO encounters. Now, there are atheistic materialists who, because of their worldview, deny the supernatural. And Christians certainly don't want to be in that camp. Some of the biggest UFO debunkers were Carl Sagan, Bill Nye, and Neil deGrasse Tyson. And they did so because of their disbelief in the supernatural and their materialistic, atheistic worldview. But then there are atheistic UFO promoters who believe in UFOs and the supernatural, but are concocting an entire false narrative around these UFOs. One of the leading personalities is Dr. Stephen Greer and his Disclosure Project. I mean, it'd be one thing if he was just reporting on UFOs, but he makes claims such as government officials have been in conversations with these extraterrestrials, that in the moon landing, the astronauts encountered UFOs, and these UFOs have a base on the far side of the moon. And these aren't your typical government officials, but this is a group of insiders who operate unacknowledged government programs. And there are groups of wealthy power brokers in the world that are keeping this information to the public, keeping these new sources of energy technology from the public so as to protect certain economic interests, such as big oil. Greer has a documentary called The Lost Century, where he explains that all sorts of new technologies from these extraterrestrials could have been given to the public to solve our hunger problem, our energy problems, our medical problems, but it's been hidden by these elites. And the claim is that these extraterrestrials started arriving once the nations entered the nuclear arms race. That these extraterrestrials are concerned about us. They don't want us to blow up the world. And this is the benevolent protector theory. Let's see, what else? Yeah. Oh, the Greer Group is also working to bypass the government and make contact with these aliens themselves. And these aliens do respond and appear when UFO seekers engage in meditation, remote viewing, mental telepathy, transcendental meditation, and of course, because they're calling upon demons. Now, these UFO enthusiasts also believe that the promise of humanity's future is with these aliens, with their technology. Science is the savior. Then there is what Ronald Reagan said at the UN back in 1987. Quote, perhaps we need some outside universal threat to make us recognize this common bond. I occasionally think of how quickly our differences worldwide would vanish if we were faced with an alien threat from outside this world. Unquote, Ronald Reagan. By the way, Greer also claims that there is an evil group of insiders who want to start a war with these UFOs and use the hoax of an alien invasion to unite the world in an evil way around an alien threat. So if you want to look into what the world is saying about UFOs, Jesse Michaels with the YouTube channel American Alchemy has just come out with a 2-hour interview with David Grush. That YouTube will get you up to speed on what's going on. But now, some Christian teachers have picked up on all this. There are Christian writers and YouTubers and podcasters who put this all together and claim that these demons, disguising themselves as aliens, will be a major factor in the upcoming apocalypse. The ETs will reveal themselves. And their appearance and their lies will be used to debunk the Christian message and support an evolutionary cosmology, support globalism, and bring mankind into a new age of advanced knowledge and technology, where man is God. These demons will claim to be humanity's deliverers, even given new insights into how mankind can extend human life by medical advances, by DNA manipulation, even promising eternal life, where Satan will provide a substitute for God's salvation. Satan will give to mankind the knowledge that he will claim that this powerful being, Yahweh, Elohim, denied mankind back in the garden. Is this possible? Maybe. I'm most certain that the book of the Revelation doesn't expose all that's going to happen at the end of this age. There are going to be many surprises. That truth is alluded to in Revelation chapter 10, verse 4, where additional events are mentioned, but the Apostle John is specifically told not to reveal these events. Revelation chapter 10, verse 4. I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying, seal up the things which the seven peals of thunder have spoken, and do not write them. One of those undisclosed surprises may be more of a direct interaction between the demonic realm and humanity. You know, after all, Satan is the ruler of this world, and he wants to receive worship from his subjects. He wants to receive acknowledgement. And we could imagine Satan wanting to reveal himself in some sort of deceptive, fake form of incarnation and second coming, an appearing or revealing of his kingdom to preempt Christ's appearing. Now, not that Satan will definitely claim to be the second coming of Christ, but he might reveal to mankind that there are powerful beings that exist on earth in a different realm. That these beings have the answer to all wisdom and knowledge as opposed to the Christian message, which the demons will depict as a message of oppression and backward thinking, as the world does now in promoting cultural Marxism and discouraging or disparaging Christianity. So will Satan and his kingdom continue to hide from mankind through all human history? Is that what he wants? Or with the removal of God's restraint at the end of this age, as prophesied in 2 Thessalonians 2:7, will Satan's kingdom be able to reveal itself? Notice in Revelation, there are references to the release of and the activity of demons. And as Christians, we do believe that Satan's kingdom and the demons are real. And they are powerful beings with advanced knowledge. But here's my warning. As Christians, we should consider the possibilities. But let's not get so caught up in the claims and the theories that we believe this is all fact, so that we believe that we're now in the know. The problem I have with a lot of these Christian teachers is they teach their theories as if they're facts that will take place. That they're sharing their insights into their secret discoveries. They just can't get themselves to say maybe or possibly. It's always presented as a prophetic fact. But that's not the way we're to teach God's truth. We're not to go beyond what the scriptures teach. The Apostle John explained it this way, 2 John 9, anyone who goes too far and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Notice the phrase, goes too far. Literally in the Greek, anyone who crosses the line or steps over the boundary. What does the apostle mean? Well, the early Christians knew the danger of adding to scripture and substituting speculation for revelation. 1 Timothy 1:4, Paul writes to Timothy, not paying attention to myths and endless genealogies, which give rise to mere speculation, rather than furthering the administration of God, which is by faith. 2 Timothy 4:4, and they will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths. Now, there's nothing wrong in applying biblical prophecy to world events. God would have us do that as the day draws near. But let's remember to separate between what is theory and what is actual scriptural prophecy. Now, in regard to the role of demons in UFOs, keep in the back of your mind all the possibilities. Consider the theories, but realize they're just that. Let's just wait to see what happens. Just like the Jews should have been open to all of the possibilities before Christ's coming, before his first coming. Christians shouldn't definitely be claiming that the Antichrist will have a council of extraterrestrials and he will form his 10-nation confederacy around a new world order based upon alien encounters and technology. So in closing, let me just leave you with some overall principles that we should be aware of in this ongoing battle between the kingdom of God versus the kingdom of Satan and man. In the words of President Truman, as reported by Lieutenant Colonel Philip Corso, Truman, in asking his generals about these UFOs, said, quote, "What are these SOBs after?" So let me just list a few points in this regard. Number one, first, remember Satan's goal is to destroy mankind. John chapter 8, verse 44, he was a murderer from the beginning. John 10:10, the thief comes only to kill, to steal, and to destroy. Lucifer's first interaction with mankind was to deceive Adam and Eve into sinning, so that the wrath of God would be upon them, just as the wrath of God was upon him. By this, Satan could ensure his goal, the destruction of the human race. But of course, we know God thwarted Satan's plan with redemption for mankind, but we still recognize there Satan's original goal. I can't help to think of the 1950 Twilight Zone episode where aliens landed on Earth and began to solve all of our food and energy problems. And these aliens had a book in their alien language entitled To Serve Man. Well, finally, a reporter deciphers the language and discovers that To Serve Man is a cookbook. The aliens were harvesting mankind for food. C.S. Lewis, in his Screwtape Letters, said it this way: God wants mankind as sons he can bless. Satan wants mankind as cattle he can slaughter. You know, back in the 1950s, there was a much more Christian worldview. Aliens were evil. Now Hollywood depicts aliens as the good guy. In my research into this, it seems as if in the early days, the military and people in the know saw these beings as having an evil intent. Here's a quote from Philip Corso. We didn't know what these EBEs wanted at first. You know, EBE stands for extraterrestrial biological entities. But we knew that between the cattle mutilations, surveillance of our secret weapons installations, report of strange abductions, and their constant buzzing of our unmanned and manned space launches, the EBEs weren't just friendly visitors looking for a polite way to say hello. We mean you no harm. They meant us harm and we knew it. Also, remember, it was the most well-known UFO researcher, Jacques Vallée, in his 1969 book, Passport to Magonia, where he abandoned the theory that these UFOs were from other planets, and he came to the conclusion that they were interdimensional beings that have always been on Earth with us, what history calls demons. The old school view of UFOs from the 50s through the 70s is that they were up to no good. The new school is that they are altruistic, you know, such as in the movie The Day the Earth Stood Still, where these aliens are depicted as benevolent protectors. So just realize that in whatever Satan's up to, he's going to promise abundant life when he actually wants to kill us. In a discussion I had with my son, he wondered how long Satan could keep up his ruse. It's kind of like a kidnapper who plays nice with his victim to keep him docile, but he really wants to kill his victim, but he's waiting to first get the ransom. Point number two. Along with this, Satan is a master of deception and trickery. And what we've been witnessing for the last 70 years in regard to UFOs looks like the unfolding of a playbook. And whatever it is, we know that the demonic strategy is to deceive people and draw them away from Christ. We should assume that Satan's kingdom uses hundreds of different promotional campaigns. Just like a Fortune 500 company will use multiple advertising strategies. We see the same campaign in modern isms and movements, such as wokeism, CRT, cultural Marxism, LGBTQ, queer theory, sexual liberation. They are the same plays as Satan's because he creates these doctrines. Satan will play the victim and make God and the Christian message look like the oppressor. He will promise everything that God promises. Satan will offer an alternative salvation, a utopia on earth to compete with the promise of heaven, just as he offered Christ all the kingdoms of this world. In regard to UFOs, they don't even have to be real. But the whole thing could be a satanic deception in people's minds in order to give modern man false proof for an evolutionary cosmology, or to give people a false hope. Or they can be real, and the powers of darkness are playing with us, only showing up at certain times just to tease, to test man's response, to ready mankind to receive and embrace the great apostasy, the satanic rebellion. You know, as Jacques Vallée asked, why would UFOs let F-18s chase them over the Pacific? Is it a mistake or a plan? It's a plan. But given what we know about Satan being the deceiver, here's the bottom line. Don't believe what the world will be claiming in regard to the identity and the purpose of these beings. Jesus warned us in the Olivet Discourse that the deception in the last days will be so slick and so convincing that if it were possible, it would deceive even the very elect. Matthew 24:24, for false Christs, false saviors, false teachers will arise and show great signs and wonders so as to mislead, if possible, even the elect. The fallen unseen spiritual realm is working to trick and deceive us. So, if you have an experience, don't build your doctrine upon it. We have to understand all of our experiences through the truth of Scripture. Let Scripture inform our thoughts on every experience. Galatians chapter 1, verse 8. Even if an angel from heaven, a watcher, a demon, a messenger from the heavenly realm should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached, let him be accursed. Number 3, as I have already alluded to, Satan's goal is to distract mankind from the gospel and present an alternative gospel, an alternative good news. As Paul writes in Galatians, to bring another gospel, a false good news. And as Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 11, to lead people's minds away from pure devotion to Christ. In this case, devotion to these extraterrestrials and to science. That's the purpose of all of Satan's lies and all of the philosophical isms in our day, to distract from the real issue of man's sin and our need to be reconciled back to God. That's the number one issue in the world today, but it's totally ignored. 4th, I believe a case could be made that Satan wants to give man forbidden knowledge. The demons may come promising to give us what they will claim Jesus and the Father never gave to mankind, technologies to relieve us of the burdens in life. Genesis chapter 2, we were forbidden to eat of the tree of knowledge. Notice that when Jesus came, he never gave mankind the cure to cancer. He never told mankind about penicillin. He never taught mankind about how machines could make their lives easier and relieve them from the Genesis chapter 3 curse. And as a new Christian, I always wondered about this, because this would certainly be a great way for Christ to prove his divinity and win mankind back to his side. But Jesus didn't do this because mankind's most pressing problem was his sin problem. If man would first seek the kingdom of God, all of those other things would be added to him. Sinners in their rebellion to God do not need to be empowered by technological secrets. Such relief would only cause mankind to be more proudful, more arrogant. The goal is not to make heaven on earth. But Satan does want to give mankind forbidden knowledge before God's ordained time, so that mankind would see himself as his own savior, and so that mankind would need God less. Point number 5, Satan hides himself relative to the situation. One of the arguments in this UFO controversy is the Fermi's paradox. And it goes like this. If these extraterrestrials really exist, why is the evidence so elusive? Sure, if they're there, they would have come calling by now. You know, they would have landed on the lawn of the White House. But in regard to Satan's kingdom, the hiding is deliberate. It's necessary to fulfill Satan's objectives. You know, a very common adage is that Satan's greatest lie is to convince people he doesn't exist. So I have a very deep theological question for you to ponder. why does Satan hide himself from mankind? You know, that might seem like an easy question to answer, but it's really not. He's the God of this world. Doesn't the king want to show himself to his subjects? But then we have to bring up another question. Is Satan hiding himself because it's his choice or God's decree? Does Satan want to hide, or is God forcing him to hide? Notice that the good angels also don't reveal themselves, but most likely for a completely different reason than the demons. To reveal the face of God would only produce a false compliance. May also mean that sides would be permanently drawn and solidified for or against God. And God's plan may be to instead work silently to save more incorrigible people. The disciples asked Jesus, why won't you show yourself to the world? And Jesus said he would only show himself to those who love him. So first there must be a spiritual allegiance and commitment before that knowledge is revealed. And I suspect that before Satan can show himself, there needs to first be a spiritual commitment to him before he reveals to mankind the whole truth about his rebellion. In answering this theological question, why does Satan hide himself? There are a number of truths that first must be considered, such as, if Satan reveals himself, it must be a negative for his cause, otherwise he would reveal himself. If he reveals himself, maybe it would drive more people into the arms of God. But wait a minute. Romans chapter 5, people are already at enmity with God. Ephesians chapter 2, people already walk according to the prince of the power of the air. You would think that humanity would embrace Satan if he revealed himself. Well, the answer seems to be in the realm of this concept that people are not totally on Satan's side yet. They're not fully committed to raw evil. People will continue more in their indifference toward God if they believe there is no God, or by redefining God, or by thinking that they're on God's side when they're not. Satan doesn't want people to know which side they're really on, that he's the prince of darkness, that they're on the side of the one leading the rebellion against the creator. That would create all sorts of cognitive dissonance in those who are still sinful, but retain some of the image of God, a God-given conscience. Too many people, although under Satan's authority and influence, are not fully on board with his program. So therefore, Satan disguises himself. 2 Corinthians 11, he disguises himself as an angel of light. And notice that Satan even hid his identity from Eve in the garden. But the more mankind is in rebellion to God, the more mankind is agreeing with the satanic rebellion that God is the oppressor, and the more mankind has a seared conscience, likely the more Satan can reveal himself. If the demons in biological bodies showed up in 16th century Geneva, Switzerland, the heart of the Reformation, they would be slain and they would build the faith of everyone in Geneva. But if the demons in biological bodies showed up at Sodom and Gomorrah or in present-day San Francisco, they would be hailed as long-lost friends. The gods we worship have finally arrived. 1 Corinthians 10:20, the Gentiles sacrifice to demons and not to God. And that might be the plan. To get the nations to such a place of wickedness that when the truth about Satan is revealed, the nations agree with his position against God and receive Satan as their savior. Satan's plan may be to get the whole world to the place that it joins in Satan's rebellion without a need for deception. In the last days, in the great apostasy, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, saying may be able to reveal himself fully, certainly in the person of the Antichrist. All this is something to consider. I need to wrap this up. So let me conclude with one final point. You don't want to be chasing after these demons out of curiosity, out of a need to know. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 20, do not be participating with demons. Don't be like these storm chasers chasing after UFO sightings, making pilgrimages to Roswell or to the Skinwalker Ranch. And don't have anything to do with these UFO enthusiasts who try to contact these extraterrestrials with meditation and seances. These are dangerous spiritual entities that want to sift you like wheat. They will follow you. One common thread in demonology is that demons can only get a foothold into the people who open their lives to the demons and who seek after the demons. You know, if I run into an ET, I'm certainly not going to interview them for my next YouTube. I mean, if I have a conceal and carry permit, I'm going to take them out. They're pure evil. They have transgressed God's boundaries. They don't belong in our physical world like the demons didn't belong in the demoniac at Gadara. We're at war with these beings. And if they want to appear physically, maybe we should fight with them physically. But you say, you know, aren't you afraid that you might be shooting a real being from another planet? Thou shalt not murder. No, I have no doubt that these are demons in meat suits. But to be honest, in reality, I'd probably practice Jude verse 9, which would be a much better weapon. Michael the archangel took care of Satan by saying, the Lord rebuke you. And for another verse, 1 Peter 5, 9 or James 4, resist the devil and he will flee from you. We're never told to flee from Satan, but that he will flee from us. And I really don't worry about running into any of these extraterrestrials because according to scripture and certain testimony, you know, these entities stay far away from Christians and the angels that guard us in all of our ways. So thanks for listening to all of these scriptures and a whole lot of speculation. Remember to focus on Christ. Colossians chapter 2, verse 3, in Christ are found all of the hidden treasures of wisdom and knowledge. May Jesus Christ reign.